In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Our meditation tonight is based upon the seventh lesson, the angel of the Lord proclaiming to the shepherds that Christ has been born of Mary. So the angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not, I bring you good news of great joy that shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So the angel of the Lord, he has gathered us here tonight so that we would rekindle our hearts, those hearts that are tired and weary and disappointed and broken in any number of ways, and recover the joy and the wonder and the marveling of God's Christmas, of God's Christ Mass to us. For he has now become our brother and our friend and our Savior. And so tonight we take particular note of the angel preaching to the shepherds in the fields as they watch their sheep on a cold and dark night. It is worth noting that St. Luke spends all but two verses explaining or speaking about the birth of Jesus, and yet he tells us 10 verses, or uses 10 verses to tell us about what happens afterwards with the shepherds in the fields. Although this is, I believe that there is a comfort here and a truth here for us. The truth here is that it shows the importance that the birth of Jesus must be proclaimed. It must be preached. It must be heralded from the rooftops. And the comfort is related to that. Such words must be heard. And when they are heard, the sound of those gracious words bring peace and comfort and solace to our bodies and souls. So it's like the comfort of, it's like a treasure that is buried in your backyard and you have no idea that it's there. And if you don't have any idea that it's there, then it is of no comfort to you. But once the person, a person tells you, "Hey, look, you should go over there by the tree where there's an X and there's a small indentation, there's a treasure there. Go look over there." And you go and then you dig and you find the treasure and you rejoice over that treasure. So it was that the angel told the shepherds that in Bethlehem, in the city of David, there was a sign. A baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And this one, this baby, was the Savior of the world. The peace of heaven come down to earth for man. And like the shepherds, we go to our own Bethlehem, our own house of bread, if you will, which Bethlehem means, where the Milwaukee River bends west, West Bend, where our salvation lies on an altar and in a font, and through a meager pulpit. So this night, as the clouds and the sky peel back, the angel preaches to them, and we are told that they feared with a great or very great fear. That is to say, you could not get more scared than these shepherds were that night. When Martin Luther preaches on this text, he says this, that their fear indicates that they did not know what had happened. That if they had known beforehand what had happened and what the angel was about to say, they would not have been afraid. They would not have been astonished. Rather, they would have leapt for joy because the angels would have been preaching to them about something that they were hoping to come and now it had come. But it literally was brand new news to them. They had no idea that this miraculous thing had happened. sort of had a similar experience with two shut-ins this past week as I went to visit them with the Christmas gospel. Both husband and wife, they live in the same memory care unit in the same room, and they've been married for over 60 years, and they don't really know each other that well anymore. And when I told them that I was going to read them the Christmas gospel, they got all excited. And then I began to read the Christmas gospel, when I came to the parts about Jesus being born of the Virgin and born of Mary, there was a surprised nature to their eyes, and they were overjoyed, and they were shocked that this could happen. It's very much like the shepherds. The angel preaches to the shepherds. He preaches to us that the second person of the Holy Trinity, the eternal God, eternal Son of God, that one has now become a man. Hebrews 2 puts it this way: just as the children have flesh and blood, he too partook of the same. God has flesh and blood. God has become a man. And this is a marvel, and this is a wonder. And dumbfounded at this, like the shepherds, we're all wrapped in a certain sense of maybe silence or awe, or maybe even a fear. As one great hymn would put it, a communion hymn, by the way, trembling they stand, pondering nothing earthly, for blessing with his hand, Christ our God to earth is descending. Now, Luther surmises that if we could just capture a little bit of the joy and the wonder of the incarnation, that God has become flesh, that the Son of God has become a man, there would be absolutely no room in our hearts for worry or fear or distress or trouble or anything like it. Our hearts, he says, would be so full of joy and wonder that they would never, ever be sad again. He actually goes so far as to say that as the angels see God becoming man, they themselves wish that they could become men as well. Why? So that they could have the same glory that God has now as our brother. So Christ's birth, his sharing of our humanity, is far deeper than I think we ever really consider. Because even now, Jesus is a man like we are, and yet exalted in glory, sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, ruling and reigning over all things. And he could have done just that as a man. And yet when it came time for the incarnation, when it came time for the Son to have compassion for his Father's people, he did not just simply He did not enter simply into a celestial closet and open up the closet and like, there we go, flesh of man, I'm going to put that one on today. And just grab the man suit and put it on. And then just sit back down at the right hand of God the Father. It's like, okay, that's easy. I'm done now. Right, Dad? Right, Father? No, he didn't. He could have taken on human flesh in just glory, but he didn't. He took on human flesh, and that this flesh bears sin and death and all of it that is related to that. So, for unto you is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He has not just become a man. He has become an infant. He's become a baby. He has been conceived in the womb by the Holy Spirit through the Virgin Mary. He's been laid in a feeding trough in a little town outside of Jerusalem where nobody is looking and nobody cares about. But this one has been born for all, has been born for you. So, if you ever doubt God's love, I mean, if you ever question whether or not that Jesus actually loves you, or if you ever distrust that heaven is your eternal resting place, I want you to remember something. I want you to remember that Jesus is born for you, as the angels told the shepherds. Not simply that he is born for humanity in general, but that he bears your flesh, that he bears your specific flesh with all of its specific burdens and sins and brokenness and cares and shame and guilt and all of that. That he who created the heavens and the earth with his mere lips is now cradling you in his very own flesh. Christmas is very clear. And it tells you that God's love is not some generic to whom it may concern kind of letter. No, for you, the angel says, that Christ was born. His love is specific, even as it is for all people. And this love of God finds its most truest expression in the fact that he is our Savior. Christ the Savior is born. So ultimately, Jesus becomes man. He takes on our flesh, not simply to grow up as a man, not simply to do all those things that we read about in the Gospels, not simply to just simply be our friend or our brother, to walk with us and to hold our hand and to maybe offer a shoulder to cry on at times or offer an affectionate hug. No, he's come to save us from Satan's power, from sin and death. So guess what? He needs those hands. And he needs those feet so that there will be something to nail to the tree that he's crucified to. He needs that forehead of his that Mary kisses and Joseph kisses so that there is something later to push a crown of thorns on top of his head with. He needs that back of his that Mary burps and Joseph burps, so there be a place for them to whip him and flog him. He needs flesh and blood in order to sacrifice himself for us. So at Christmas time, we don't simply rejoice that God has become man and that he has assumed our humanity. So much more that he has assumed our sin and our guilt and our shame and our sickness and all of our fears and all our death. It was always a risk for the angel to come to the shepherds, because the shepherds could have certainly thought that there was a wiser bunch of people that should have first heard this wonderful, glorious, and incredible news. Kind of like Royal Herod living in Jerusalem, or like the wise priests abiding in the Holy Temple. But this is why the angel presses into the shepherd's hearts and he presses into our hearts tonight. That a Savior who is Christ the Lord is born to us. And that a sign will be given to us. A baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Jesus is born for you. He lives, he dies for you. He rises and he ascends to heaven for you. And he will come back for you. May this joy and peace give you comfort and last unto eternal life. A most blessed Christmastide to all of you. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all your understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen.